Good morning and happy Fancy Friday to all of you. One of my favorite times, of course, of the week is always with the official chaplain of the Alma in the Morning Show and overall great guy, Pastor Pat Rankin with Have Bible, Will Travel. And I know you and I kind of got a little chuckle over the conversation, as serious as it was, but also as fun as it was at the same time with Jim Talon. And I will tell you, Pastor Pat, you probably already know this because you could tell. One of the things that really is great about Jim is that he actually absolutely has the peace of Christ in him. He is a devout Christian, and you can tell, you know what I mean? He's just very, very even. That doesn't mean, you know, that if you're a little bit tempestuous or whatever, that you're not Christian, but you can tell that Jim is a very steady dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he is. He's a great guy. I think he's spoke at my church before in one of our meetings, but he's a wonderful guy. When he started talking about his dad and everything, I could reflect on that too, because I just lost my dad, you know, about 6 months or so ago.
Oh, and, no, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it really touched my heart. So praise God for Brother Jim.
Yeah, right on. I mean, my dad and I were very close, and I was the youngest of six, so he died at 71, you know, so he's only 10 years older than I am now. And a long time ago when I was a young man, and miss him every day, man. You probably still every once in a while go, oh, I'm going to call dad real quick and tell him what happened. You know, you probably still think that because it takes a while.
Yeah, absolutely. When I'd leave the farm, I'd usually call him and just talk about what a great day I had there and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I mean, we did a lot together. We were together, you know, 2-3 days a week. It was wonderful.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Well, I have so many stories to tell. I kind of do about my dad, but so many. And as I advance in my age and whatever, I have so many questions for him that I wish he was still around to answer. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah. The older I got, the smarter I believed he was.
Oh yeah.
So, yeah. He was a very smart man for sure.
Isn't that something? Well, I tell you, so, I had the privilege of, I went to church in Tempe, Arizona, 'cause I was over there, visiting my son who goes to ASU and a beautiful service mass. And what really, sometimes, you know, you focus a little bit on the gospel, but I will tell you that the second reading, this Ephesians reading, Ephesians 2:4-10, and this crystallizes,
yes,
the beauty and gift of Christ. I mean, this is like, it's so incredible, just in 1, 2, 3, like, you know, 25 lines, this basically encompasses all of what we believe and why we believe it and this gift from God.
Yeah, if my memory serves me correct, that's probably where he was talking about the grace of Christ. Mm-hmm. And grace is just unmerited favor. It's favor he gives you, not because you deserve it, but because he loves you. And that's what you can expect as a follower of Christ. Kind of same way we are with our children. Our children may not always deserve the best, but we give them the best because we love them so much. Right, Jamie?
Yeah. Oh, there's no doubt about it. Before I get to the rest of this, because I want to read this one little bit from Ephesians, there's this part of a play that I see sometimes on Facebook between a father and his son. And the son is asking the dad, like, you've never really like me. You've never really acted like you like me. And the father is like, well, I don't have to like you. Where do you eat? Where do you sleep? Who gives you a roof over your head? All this kind of stuff. And so, and he says, what do you think that is? And obviously it's about love. So,
yep, it's all, you know, all the provisions God gives his kids, man. It's, you know, you start with just breathing his air. You ought to be thankful that you can get up in the morning, breathe his air, and walk on his soil and see all his majesty outside, you know, the birds and the trees and, you know, spring and everything's coming back to life. It's just a beautiful, beautiful time And I heard you talking about that a little earlier before we went on. It's you know, in my personal opinion, it's one of the greatest times of the year is right here as we approach Easter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Beautiful time. So this part of Ephesians is, and this is interesting because it's kind of not all Christians seemingly sometimes believe this. But anyway, this is what it says. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from you. It is a gift of God. It is not from works, so no one may boast. And that's interesting because, you know, in certain levels of faith and religions, they talk about how you earn grace through works. I think that's Calvinism, to tell you the truth. But if I'm mistaken, please correct me. But there are certain people who believe that you have to. And I'm not saying that that means you don't do any good things, right? But that there's that somehow you have to earn your keep with God somehow.
Oh boy, that's where man really screws up his relationship with Christ, because it's not about religion, it's about a relationship, and you can't earn God's favor. He can't love you any more than he has. That's why he sent his son Jesus to die. So if we could work our way into heaven, we wouldn't need Christ. So it's just by favor, and you accept that the atoning work he did at the cross at Calvary, and know that it's sufficient for the sin debt that you owe, then the Bible says then you will be saved. You know, actually it says that in Romans 10:13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you're saved from yourself and your sin. And I know that's what all these great preachers are preaching about, is, you know, just preaching about the freedom in Christ, whether you read it in Galatians, Ephesians, or you read it in the Old Testament, all the prophecy. Jesus came to set the captives free, you know, and I think our forefathers would reiterate that in the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. You know, as we talk about, you know, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that's what Christ died for. He died to set the captives free, and from themselves and from sin, you know. And sin is described in 1 John 5:17 as all wrongdoing. So if you've ever done anything wrong, God considers that sin, and you need to be delivered from it. And the only way is through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Well, and that's fascinating, because that doesn't necessarily mean, and I'm sure people, and I understand that people grapple with this. So does that mean I don't do anything? Like, let me, you know, the response is sometimes kind of funny. It's like, Jesus loves you. He's not in love with you, though. So you need to actually still kind of be a good person. And by your works, you're evangelizing and extending Christ's love, but not necessarily earning some points with God.
We can never earn salvation, and we do good works because we are saved, not to get saved. So it's very important that people know that God's not interested in necessarily your thoughts on how you're a good person. See, a lot of times people judge themselves to their neighbor, and next to your neighbor, you may look okay, but that's not how God judges. He doesn't judge on the curb. He judges on the cross. How do you look against Christ? Well, the only way you can become perfect is to accept the perfect sacrifice that Christ laid down his life. And when you accept that, believe it, and trust in it, and invite him into your heart, that's when you become saved, and that's when you become a Christian.
Yeah.
And then you ask him to help you walk this thing out. You know, you need a relationship with Christ, and then you need a strong mentor to help you walk this new life out. It's called being born again. And Nicodemus, a religious, you know, leader, asked, can somebody be born a second time? And Jesus said, hey, you don't understand. He said, I'm talking about a regeneration of the heart spiritually. And then when the heart's regenerated, the mind gets regenerated as well. So it's just the opposite of the way the world wants to do it. The world's trying to educate the mind to change the heart. It'll never work that way. You got to get the heart changed, and then the stinking thinking goes.
Yeah. And you mentioned Nicodemus, because that's the gospel from last Sunday. And Jesus said to Nicodemus, and of course, what you just talked about in answer to that question is, then you need to understand what eternal life is all about. And
that's right.
It's not the come back as another person. It's you have then eternal life. But what part of that gospel is really amazing? I think you alluded to it a little bit here. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. That's pretty simple.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's amazing, Jamie, you quoted that, because the most quoted verse in the Bible is probably John 3:16, and the most underquoted would be the verse right after it, 3:17. And people don't understand that. So praise God that you understand that. So God didn't come here to condemn people. He came to set them free. So Christianity is the only religion based on love. And people need to understand that, you know, the Christians are mandated by God to be people of love and to hate evil. So I think the world's got it backwards. Sometimes they think that Christians are hate mongers. You know, we're to tell people the truth, tell them that we love them, and tell them that we serve a Jesus who died for their sins.
Yeah. No doubt. It's weird. And Christians are constantly targeted for that, especially this whole nonsense about Christian nationalism or whatever. And, I talked to you back in the day about that one journalist who was talking about, you know, these people actually, you know, believe our rights come from God and not the government.
Oh, it's like, no. The God is the, you know, God is the one who given you the rights, and God's the only one who can take them away. It's the government's job to enforce them and keep the people free. You know, that's what a republic is. People don't understand what a republic is. It's a government by the people for the people.
Right on. Hey, you know, mentioned John 3:16. Did you know that there was some documentary done a while back on this guy, on the guy who was like the original John 3:16 guy? I'm not quite sure things ended very well for him in the end, but it's a fascinating story. So there was a guy, like when I was a kid, apparently it was always the same guy who had the John 3:16 sign at the football games, you know?
I've seen that before. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think they still do. They still do that. I haven't been paying attention apparently, but I like that.
You know, I don't know, Jamie, but it's good that it's out there. And you know, the people that, you know, post stuff like that, they're just doing the Lord's work. And then they just have a passion for Christ and they want to share the gospel because they want everybody to be saved. Hey, if you got something, it'd be like going to a steakhouse. It's so good. You tell everybody about it. And when you've been saved by the grace of Jesus Christ, it's so wonderful. You want everybody to know about it. If you truly love people, you will not only tell them the truth, but tell them that Jesus is the truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And that's what it says in John 14:6.
Yeah, right. And I will tell you something about the priest at this church was really super amazing to me. And so he's was a kind of a mid-40s, maybe even 50s guy, but he had two braces that he needed to walk with. So he was, so everything he did at the altar and beyond, he was walking around, he was using these braces. And I was always amazed by that, because people who are still committed in that way, even though they barely are even mobile, you know, I'll never forget one time in church, I saw an old man. I wish I knew where he was now. And obviously it's been a long time ago, who obviously was older enough that his knees weren't in that greatest of shape, but I'll be darned if he didn't kneel on one knee just to keep it there, even though he couldn't kneel on two knees. And that kind of thing always fascinates me, that the people, of course, obviously they're living up to God's sacrifice for us, but still. I always amazed at people who, you know, either get themselves to church, you know, even when it's not convenient, or still kind of, you know, appear in the pews when they're not the best of shape. And it just is amazing to me. I love taking that in and seeing people like that and saying a prayer for them in praise, you know.
Yeah, that's right there, Jamie. Hallelujah to you. That's preaching, brother. You want me to tell you what that's called? That's called passion. That you know, you get on fire for Jesus, people come out and watch you burn. And that's exactly why people love your show, because you have passion. It's real. They know that you love the Lord, you love the country, and that's what I love most about you, Jamie. And me and my wife were praying for you and your family this morning. I think we're living in just some wonderful times now, where you're getting to see biblical prophecy come to light.
Yeah. And well, thank you for that.
And we're going to be the city on a hill, Jamie. And I can't thank you enough for what you do for all the people out there and being the trumpet for God's people out there. It's just a wonderful, wonderful day today.
Well, I absolutely is. And I'm really, truly blessed to be teamed up with you, man, because you're the best. Yeah. I love having these conversations. I could talk to you all day about this, and because that's just how effusive and passionate you are.
We're both talkers, so it's a wonder we can get in a word edgewise, right?
But you know, it's funny, you have an answer for everything, which I love too. I could throw something out there and you're like, immediately through God's grace, it just crystallizes it. So it's really nice to have, to even when they're kind of maybe even dumb questions, you're stuck, which is like right on, you know, here you explain it and everything else. So
it's all God. I'm just his voice box over here.
Yeah, I love it. So have Bible, will travel. Things are starting to heat up, so to speak, as we head into Easter.
Yes. It's awesome, Jamie. Again, I don't remember a time since I've been a Christian where I've seen things happen the way they're happening right now. People are coming to Christ. And it's just a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful time of the year. And I pray that more and more people will give their life to Christ and find the true freedom that they're actually looking for.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be a beautiful next couple of weeks here. You guys, even if you're kind of one of those people who are like, you're the only the Christmas, Easter, whatever, it doesn't matter, you know.
We're good with it.
Have Bible Will Travel wants to see you at three locations there in Moscow Mills and in Westport, as well as Florissant. And you go, I encourage you again to follow them on Facebook, because you'll see Pastor Pat in the flesh. You'll see all the beautiful people who are there at the church. And it's kind of constantly, once you follow it, it's on your feed, and you will be enlightened and invigorated with God's word and good people when you follow that Facebook page. So thank you so much, Pastor Pat Rankin.
Yeah, you too, Jamie Ullman, and God bless you. God bless your audience, and have a great day in the Lord.
Oh, God bless you too. It's a true privilege to have you on the show. Thank you, Pastor Pat.
Thanks, brother.
All right, man, that's hbwt.org. And yeah, Tammy points out here on the face, she says he's a great pastor, great leader, great husband, family. Yeah, absolutely. He is the man. And I love talking to him. And make sure you check it out on Facebook, too.